Are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Are you ready? Well, you know, in the Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke about a woman, not just a woman, but she was a very persistent woman. And she was not just a woman, a persistent woman, she was a widow. That means in some way she is helpless, and she, you know, came to this judge. And this judge was very unwilling to help her. And she came to this judge and she cried. She cried for justice. She wants justice. She needs justice. But this judge just didn't want to do anything. Have you ever done that before? Calling to somebody and they don't want to do anything. And at the end, the judge said, I better do something, because if not, her continuously crying and calling will wear me off. I know what is it like to be a parent when your children come to you, I want this, I want this, I want this, and they keep on asking until the end you give in. Have you ever done that before? And so this judge said, I better give in. And Jesus concluded this story with this word. When the Son of Man comes, when the Son of Man returns, would he find faith? How many people will have faith on the earth? When I look at this passage, you would expect Jesus said that when he comes back, how many people would have love on the earth? He did not talk about love. He talked about how many people will have faith. Will he find faith on the earth? You know, we are not insulated from the happening in our world. And there are so many shocking events in our world. I mean, we see what happened in America, the election, what happened in Europe, what happened near and far. And so many things are happening. And when you see all these things, the uncertainty of tomorrow, and the injustice. How many realize that there's a lot of injustice? The injustice that is near and far. Our faith in God can easily be shaken. Can easily be eroded. And we begin to say, where are you, God? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Where are you, God? But yet, the Bible tells us it is our faith in God that overcomes the world. If we are to overcome the world, it has to be our faith. It is our faith in God that brightens the hope and the love that is in us. Our faith is important. Jesus, one day, took a master seat. And he said that if your faith is just like this master seed, you know how small is a master seed? It's like a grain of rice. He said that if your faith is as small as this grain of rice, you know, it has the power to grow up to be a 20 feet or 30 feet tall tree. The faith. Sometimes we do despise our little faith. Have you ever? Oh, my faith is not like your faith. Like, yours is bigger, mine is smaller. Mine is only very little. Do not despise your little faith. It's better than what? No faith. The little faith that you have in the word of Jesus has the power to move mountains from here to there. Not just one mountain, but many mountains in your life. As we begin the year 2012, my message to you is grow my faith. My cry to God is, God, grow my faith, strengthen my faith, deepen my faith, let my faith grow. How many of you want to see your faith grow? God, my faith in you. Well, let's see what the Bible talks about faith. The Bible defines faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. What is faith? Faith is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. That's faith. God, I believe in you. I believe in your healing. I believe in your breakthrough. I believe in your miracle. I believe that you will deliver me. Yes, it's not happened yet, but I have this confidence. I have this assurance that something I believe that I want from you is going to happen. It's a certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us. Wow, that is what it is. Faith is God. I'm hoping and persisting. You know, I'm fighting for a breakthrough. I'm holding for my healing. I'm fighting for my miracle. It is there, Lord. And that is not just there. It's waiting for who? It's waiting for me. Have you seen how faith is like? Even though we cannot see it up ahead from the Life Application Bible. That's why we need God to grow our faith, because our faith is that assurance, is that confidence in God. God, what I believe in you, in your word, God, even though I do not see, I know it's there and it's waiting for me, and in your time, it will come to pass. Again, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it is impossible to please God apart from faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that He exists and that He cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Faith pleases God. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith says that God does exist. And it's important that we believe in God. Some people say, I don't believe in anything. But I'm telling you, there is a creator, there is a God. His name is Jesus, and we believe in Him. So faith says, I believe in God, I believe He exists, and not only that, I believe that He cares enough, that God cares enough to respond to those who seek Him. Faith needs to believe. Faith needs to look at. Faith needs to what? Seek. So faith is important. It's our assurance, confidence, expectation, hope, and reward. And when you have faith, it pleases God. So how does God grow your faith? You want your faith to grow. How does God grow your faith? Does your faith grow simply by Romans chapter 7, chapter 10, verse 17? The Bible says, faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Does your faith grow simply by hearing the word of God? That's it. I want to let you know, hearing alone does not grow your faith. Because Christians today do have a hearing problem. We hear what we want to hear. The Bible calls it itchy ears. In the book of Revelation, Jesus continuously tells the seven churches with the same message, with the same warning, anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit. So faith does not just grow from hearing alone. You see, with all this hearing, it can bring more and more knowledge. But knowledge passes up. Knowledge is here. Faith must be where? Here. Just a short distance, it makes a great difference. If hearing alone does grow our faith, then I want you to know, go to Google search on faith. You have pages and pages and pages alone. But it does not grow your faith alone. How about impartation? Well, you want faith? Come forward. I'm laying hands on you, God. Let faith increase. Let faith be imparted. So you walk out here and now you are full of faith. It does not come from impartation. So how do you grow your faith? Faith goes through testing. You don't like to hear that, right or wrong? First Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to verse 7. So be truly glad. There is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. This trial will show that your faith is genuine. It's been tested as fire, tested and purified gold. Though your faith is far more precious than just gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. That the Bible tells us that our faith grows through what? Through testing. And this is one word that we don't want to hear. God, can you just cancel all the testing? I don't want any testing. Hearing God's word produces believing faith. Believing faith is simply, I believe. But it's not tested faith. Tested faith say, I know whom I believe. And when your faith is tested, you become, I am. I hear, I believe, now I know. And when I'm tested, look at me, I am. I am. Like Abraham, he believed God. His believing faith was tested when he offered his son to God. Abraham knew that God will raise his son from the dead. His I believe became I know, became I am. This is how Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 to verse 19 put it. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He who has received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offering will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God will raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from dead. Abraham believed. He was tested, I know, and now I am. How about Joseph? Joseph also believed God told him about his destiny, but his belief was also tested. Psalm 105 verse 19 to verse 21, until the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested Joseph. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go. He made him lord of his house and ruler of all his possession. Everyone in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, were people who believe and they know and they were tested and they became I am. Paul knows what it is to I believe, I know, and I am. Paul said that my faith has been tested. And when his faith has been tested, he said, I know how to be abased. I know how to be abound. I know how to rejoice in every situation. I know how to trust God when things are difficult. I know how to believe. He said, I know. And when his faith was tested, his faith grew and he trusts in God. And he became, I am. You know, when we hear story of people whose faith are so marvelous, we get inspired. We read about them, we hear about them, we get inspired. But it is their faith, not our faith. We can be stirred, wow, but it's not our faith, because our faith, your faith, needs to be tested in order for it to grow. We don't like testing. How many of you like, when you're in school, you like testing? We don't like tests. We don't like examination, you know. But yet God tests us in order for our faith to grow, you know. And then when God began to allow all these tests to come, he did not use it to crush us. He used it to grow our faith, our trust in him, so that we can come to a place, I know whom I believe. Even though I don't see, I believe, I know he's real. Even though he didn't answer my prayer, even the prayer is delayed, even though my healing is not completed yet, yet I believe because I know who he is. Now We want to look today at how God used three tests, just three tests, to grow your faith. There are tests that we face every day. And these tests help us to grow our faith in Him. Help us to grow deeper and stronger in Him. We overcome this test, and then we shine as overcomer of Jesus. When we are going through this test, the eyes of people are watching us. So what is this three tests that grow your faith? The first test is called problems. Jesus said, in this world, you have many troubles, many problems, many distress and frustration. But take heart, I have overcome the world. How many don't like this? Problems, trouble. One time I was in the pastor meeting, and I'm not the kind of people who go forward to a prophet and say, do you have something for me? I just sit there. And he was praying, and then he said, hey, I have a word for you. A prophet has a word for me. It's quite interesting. And so he said this, and it was a word that I didn't want to hear. How many of you know that you like someone to say something that you want to hear? But this was something that I didn't want to hear. And he said, and the prophet said this to me, you know, you ask God to bring you over the problem. But God is saying to you, I'm going to bring you through the problem. That is something that I don't want to hear. How many want to hear that? Because He was saying that when I bring you through the problem, you're going to come out stronger. And this is one of the things that God allowed things to happen in our life. Sometimes we get sick. We end up with finance problems. We end up with all this, not because we were silly or foolish in our behavior. We did everything that was right. But all this come to us. Why does God allow that? It's to test our faith, to increase our faith, to strengthen our faith, to build our faith so that we believe in who? We believe in Him. Problem. You know, one thing I find about problem, they come like a storm, one after another. And thank God it's not every day. That problem comes to life like a season. You realize that? It's like a season. If you are not in the season of problem, praise God! But if you are in a season of problem, can I tell you, it will pass. You know, and then when we have a problem, if it's not this problem, it's another problem. And then if it's not your problem, it's your children's problem, your sibling problem. And one thing for sure, problem tests your faith and problem connect you to God. You see, it's only when you have problem and you're in trouble that you pray more. How many realize that? How many realize that? Then you read your Bible more. Then you come to prayer meeting. All of a sudden, I see you on prayer meeting on Wednesday. Means you have got problem. it does. It does. You know, problem does connect us to God. It helps us because God wants us not to let the problem kill us, but God wants us to overcome the problem. Every problem is an opportunity, it's a stepping stone. You look in the life of Abraham, Joseph, David, do they have problem? They have problem. They have problem with themselves, they have problem in the family, they have problem from outside, and they overcame their problem. And when they overcame their problem, because God helped them, God delivered them, God was able to show them, I am God, nothing is impossible for me. And their faith grow. Because the God that do it for you today will do it for you when? Tomorrow. Now, here's the question. When problem comes, do you allow it to defeat you or do you allow it to grow your faith? So how do you deal with problem? Do you rejoice in the Lord? God, I thank you for this problem. I thank you for this difficulty. Lord, this is just a passing storm. It's not going to be here forever. Lord, I thank you. Because when you rejoice, it gives you a faith attitude. It gives you a positive attitude. It makes the world around you look different. But some people, when they have problems, they don't rejoice. They nag. They talk, they nag about it. And the more they nag about it, the bigger their problem becomes. Well, you can either talk to the mountain, build the mountain bigger and bigger, or prophesy and speak to the mountain. This is what happened in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 17. The mountain that is over Israel. And this is what the prophet says. So big mountain, what do you think you are? Wow, what a way to say, to look at problem. Problem, what do you think you are? Finance, what do you think you are? Sickness, what do you think you are? To look at your problem and say, who you think you are. Now, that is a good faith attitude. Many of us, when we look at the problem, it becomes so big that it what? It weighs on us. But to be able to look at the problem and say, who you think you are? In fact, he goes a little further. He said, you are nothing but a molehill. So means this mountain, he looked at it, who you are, and from this mountain, he said, you are just like a what? A molehill. We are different. We are a small problem, a small molehill. We make it into what? A big mountain. I think it's time for us to reverse it. Say amen. Faith reverse it. Faith reverse it. Faith see God bigger than the problem. And then he said, you know, when I look at this mountain, I believe that the cornerstone, which is God, God is in place. And then he said, when I look at this mountain, I'm going to look at this mountain and this problem and say, grace, grace, blessing, blessing, yes, yes. Not look at this problem and say, die, die, no, no, finish, finish. But many people look at it. I mean, as Christians, we can look at this problem and see it that way. But God said, now you change. Because I'm going to use this problem to test your faith, to grow your faith, to strengthen your faith. Look at them and speak to them and say, grace, grace, blessing, blessing. Yes, yes. Wow, what a way to look at a problem. You know, James put it this way. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, and it will come. It will knock at your door. It will visit you. When trouble comes your way, consider it as an opportunity for what? What's the opportunity for? For great what? For great joy. Consider when trouble comes, consider it's an opportunity for great joy. Not when trouble comes, consider it as a time of suffering, a time of pain, a time of defeat, a time of sadness. No, he said, consider. You see, the reason why James is able to say this is because problem did not come because you did the wrong thing. If problem comes to you because you did the wrong thing, then you need to repent. But problem comes to you even when you did the right thing. Then he said, consider it as a great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Wow, what a way. Because I know when this problem comes, I'm more than conqueror to Christ Jesus. I know that when this problem comes, all things work together for good for those that love Him and believe in Him. And I know that God is going to use this problem to strengthen my faith, to increase my faith, and to transform me more and more like Jesus Christ. What a way. God is using this season of COVID-19, hard time and problematic time, to grow your faith. And sometimes, your faith grows by simply doing nothing. Now, that is hard. Do you know that sometimes it's hard to do nothing? Because we are all control freak. We need to be in control. We need to know what is going to happen. not only today, but tomorrow, for what is ahead. So sometimes the only way we can trust God is, God, I can do nothing. I hand it to who? To you. And many of us, sometimes when we say, God, I hand it to you, after our prayer, God, let me take back again. And sometimes, you know, it's for us just to trust Him and do nothing. Because you are trusting God for His wisdom and His unfailing love. What problem are you facing now? I want you to say to God, God, I give you my problem. I give you my problem. I'm going to leave it with you. I know that you're going to use this problem to grow my faith, to transform me into your image. For Lord, you allow this problem to come. It's for my good, my transformation, and to grow my faith. So God use what? Problem, troubles, frustration. You know, don't let it eat on you. Be on top of it. The next thing that God used to test you, to increase, to grow your faith, is something also you do not want to hear. But it is true. It's called difficult people. Sometimes you look in the mirror, what's wrong with me? Why not everybody love me? Why can't everybody like me? You know, but I want you to know, even you go and see Pastor Kara, it's not going to help you, because not everybody is going to love you, right, Pastor Kara? So you better love yourself. That's what the Bible says, in a correct sense. You know. And sometimes it's difficult people that God used to grow your faith. You know, this John Maxwell talked about difficult people. I like his book. He said that these difficult people are called irregular people. Not very regular. Sometimes brief, sometimes don't brief. You know? And he said, these irregular people, they are like a tank, bulldozing all the way. I'm right and you are wrong. Inflexible. Have you ever met such people before? Or they are like a space cadet on a world of his own. They are creative with good ideas but cannot work with others. Have you met such people before? I have. I'm sure you have. And or they are like the volcano. Anything they want, boom! They're carrying a bomb. You know? Anything they explode. You know? And then when you are around them, you feel that you're walking, you know, on eggshell. Of course, this is the one you don't want to see, the difficult people call the thumb sucker. You know, they are the people who is moody, full of self-pity, always want attention. This type of people, they are like a wet blanket. Difficult people, you will face them. Say amen. God never asks you to understand difficult people. He asks you to what? To love difficult people. And God will put difficult people on your pathway, whether it's at your workplace. How many of you got difficult colleagues? There are all of them there. And they're always still breathing, you know that, Patty? Tomorrow they will still be there. So don't worry about them. Don't get upset about them. Take care of yourself, God. I want to maintain a good attitude, a good joy, a good peace of mind. I'm not going to let these difficult people eat me up, because they can suck you and eat you. They can make your life miserable if you allow them. So you're going to meet all these difficult people. You know what to do with difficult people, Patty? Smile. Yes, when you meet difficult people, you smile. Hello. Because they cannot stand your smile. Your smile will make life more difficult, not for you. For who? For them. So you will meet these difficult people, and God used these difficult people to grow your faith. Because in the world that we live, you need to realize they are always there. They will always be there. You know, you think that the world will be happier if everybody is like you. Good news for you. Not everybody is like you. But God used these difficult people. Why? So that he can grow your faith. So that he can grow the fruits of the Spirit in you. Love, patience, joy, kindness. And the hardest to grow is what? Long-suffering. But God used them to grow because God used these difficult people for one reason, so that you can exercise extra grace and extra love to them. This is what we are. We are called to become like Jesus, giving them extra. So I look at the Old Testament and the New Testament on how to deal with difficult people. And in the Old Testament, there's a passage found in Exodus chapter 23, verse 4 to verse 5. If you come upon your enemy ox or donkey that has strayed away, take it back to its owner. That's a good way. And now that's good. But the next verse is very important. If you see the donkey or someone who hates you struggling beneath a hay load, do not walk by. Instead, stop and offer to help. Now, that is difficult. Yeah? You say that if your donkey is lost, return back. Okay, Lord, I return back. Now, you see someone who you don't like and the donkey is carrying heavy weight. You say, don't just walk by. Stop and help. So, who is God talking to? Is God talking about the difficult person? Or is God talking about the donkey? Or is God talking about you? What is God talking about who? No, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. Because the common reaction for us is when we see these type of people, we run away. We avoid. But God said, don't. Reach out and what? And help. Give them the extra grace and the extra love. By doing that, as Paul said, you are putting coals of fire on their head. I tell you, brother and sister, I know by our own we can't do it. That's where we need the grace of God. We need the grace of God. And I tell you, when you do that, it does help you to grow your faith. God, this is my enemy. This is someone who do not like me. But God, I'm going to do it for your name. It may not change the person, but it does change who? It does change me. And I think more important is I become a better person than what the person become is his problem. Or her problem. So then in the New Testament, Jesus talked about the soldier that come to you. He said that, you know, if he asks you to walk 1 mile, walk 2 miles. You know, carry and walk 2 miles. You know, the soldier are someone who is an enemy of Israel. But Jesus tell them to do it the extra mile, to demonstrate love so that your faith can grow. And it's always important for us that we live in this world. It's impossible not to live with difficult people. They are around us. The message to us is that when we see difficult people, think about the donkey, think about the ox, think about the soldier, and then do the extra love, the extra grace, because it grows your faith. This week, you are going to meet difficult people like the donkeys or the ox. Would you lighten their load and see how God grows your faith in you? Lastly, how does God grow your faith? This is something that we don't want to hear also. Offenses. Josh Murrah, who runs one of the very successful orphanage in UK, long time ago, he said that God delights to increase the faith of his children. I say it deliberately through what? Offenses, trial, difficulty, and sometimes defeat They are good food of faith. And Jesus said, in this world, you will be offended. People will offend you. The question is that when you are offended, what are you going to do? Are you going to let the offense trap you and kill you? Or are you going to let go the offender? So in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to verse 6, Jesus talked about offense. And the disciples turned to Jesus. And they tell Jesus, Jesus, after they hear this story about offense, the disciple did not turn to Jesus and say, help us how to let go offended. He turned around to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our what? Our faith. Increase our faith. When someone offends you, you're willing to let go, you're willing to forgive. It's because you are trusting God who is just, that He will do what is right. How many realize that? And sometimes we want to take matters into our own hand rather than forgive and let go and trust in the justice of God. After all, vengeance belongs to who? Vengeance belongs to God. And so when you are offended and you are willing to let go, it increases your faith in God to believe that God is righteous, God will do the right thing. And how do you do with offense? Just forgive. Love motivates you to forgive, but faith activates forgiveness. How does God grow your faith in 2021? Through what? Problems. When problems come, speak to the mountains. Blessing, blessing. Grace, grace. Yes, yes. God will bring difficult people. Already some of you have them. But God used them. Use them to mold your character, to increase your faith. Don't let them kill your joy. Because if they can see that you are unhappy, that your joy is being killed, they will become more difficult to you because they're enjoying it. But if you are laughing and smiling and getting on with life, they will become difficult themselves. Thirdly, offenses. It will happen. Let go. God, I don't understand. I trust you. I release it to you. Because you are righteous. You know everything. Why don't we pray? I believe God wants each one of us sitting here. He wants our faith to grow. Not grow in faith, but our faith to grow in the person of Jesus Christ. When we say, I believe, become I know, because I've had experience. And now, I am. That's a transforming power in your journey of faith. God wants your faith to grow in 2021. Things around the world may be happening. Even your inner world can be shaken. But would you say, God, use all this to grow my faith in you, to believe that you are good, that your word is true, and you are here for me, and you will see me through, and I will come out victorious as an overcomer. This morning, whatever head is bowed, What are you going through in your journey? Is it trouble, problem, frustration? Lift up your hand to Him right now and say, God, I'm speaking to all this blessing, blessing, grace, grace. Yes, yes, oh God, because I'm going to see your power being released. My faith in you, oh God, will see your salvation, will see your help, will see your deliverance, oh God. Are you having difficult people at your workplace? Don't let them eat you. God wants to use them to grow your faith, to build Christ's likeness in you. I pray that you will smile the smile of Jesus Christ, so big and so wide that even difficult people will melt under the power. Are you offended? Release them, forgive them, and say, Lord, grow my faith, increase my faith. Shall we stand up this morning? Don't you?